Hi, and welcome to the Nat Decants podcast. I'm your wine-soaked host, Natalie McLean. Among the questions I get asked most frequently are those about starting a wine cellar. I hope you'll find these tips in this week's podcast helpful. For a detailed discussion of cellar options, prices, and pitfalls, I suggest that you take a look at Chapter 9 of my new book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over. It's an exciting project, no matter what your budget or taste. I'd like to thank the enthusiastic wine lovers who have made Red, White, and Drunk All Over a bestseller. It's now in its fourth reprinting, yay! And it's available to buy online wherever you live on this planet, and in all major bookstores in North America, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom. You know, the media reviews have been gratifying, but the reader comments mean the most to me. If you've read the book, I hope you'll submit your own review of it on my website at nataliemclean.com. And of course, I hope you'll buy it as a gift for all those upcoming anniversaries, weddings, and birthdays. If you haven't read it, this would be an excellent time to plan your vacation reading. In addition to this week's podcast, I've also posted a fun interview I had with Don Genova on his show, All You Can Eat. Don's regular podcasts feature interviews with chefs, farmers, producers, and cookbook authors. The site also includes all links and recipes mentioned in the podcast. But before we get to this week's podcast, I have two wine words to mention. The first is fragile. This doesn't refer to the emotional stability of wine lovers who open their $350 bottle of Cabernet to discover it's corked. Rather, this describes an older wine, fully mature, but of such age that it's declining. Its aromas can be fleeting, and therefore it's often better to pour it straight from the bottle into the glass, rather than decant it and risk losing those delicate aromas and flavors. Carpe diem, and don't decant them. The second word is fruit bomb. This is a wine that's fruit forward in that the fruit aromas dominate over others. This wine may lack balance with too much fruit for the wine's acidity. Think Jim Carrey rather than Jeremy Irons, or Carmen Electra, not Helen Mirren. You can find more definitions in my wine glossary on the site. The question of the week is, how do I find a local wine appreciation or sommelier course or a wine tasting club? Visit my link section on the site with both listings of wine and food courses as well as wine and food tasting clubs. Often your best local wine store or the continuing education department of your local college, especially those with hospitality programs, will offer these courses. If you can't find a course in your local area, try emailing one of the larger national wine clubs via their website, such as the American Wine Society or the Canadian Opinion Society, to ask them. Beyond this, I suggest trying a web search. As usual, if you'd also like to find out about upcoming wine events, wines to buy, and other newsy bits and gossip that are part of my free e-newsletter, you can sign up for it at nataliemclean.com. And if you have any comments or suggestions, just email me at natdecants@nataliemclean.com. And now, sit back, pour yourself a glass of something tasty, and enjoy this week's story entitled Top 10 Tips for Underground Sips. You may have long yearned for a wine cellar, but thought you couldn't build one because you didn't have the wine collection or finances of an 18th century aristocrat. Not to worry. Although cellars are traditionally associated with snobbery and expense, in today's egalitarian world, wine lovers are building them on relatively modest budgets. In fact, there are a range of reasons why wine cellars choose to build a cellar. Do you yearn for the smooth, layered taste of mature wines? Do you like to buy wines on release, when they're least expensive, rather than paying top dollar later? Or do you just have too many bottles piling up in your bedroom closet or kitchen cupboard? Those are all good reasons for wanting your own personal den of Dionysus, along with the convenience of having a cache of wines at hand, whether for quiet family dinners or for when company comes. Just as wine drinkers vary in their tastes, so do they differ in their reasons for wanting a cellar. Before venturing into creating a wine cellar of your dreams, though, consider these hints that will leave you calm, cool, and collected. Cellar dues. Do calculate how much wine and space you'll need. A well-planned cellar creates a flow of great wine over a lifetime. Calculate your needs depending on how much you drink per week and on how long you want to age your wines. So for example, if you drink 3 bottles of wine every week, that's approximately 150 a year. And if your preference is for wines that have been aged an average of 5 years, then you'll need to have at least 750 bottles. Some people don't want to age their wines at all, but rather have a cellar just for convenience. This is especially true for moderately priced wines under $20. They generally won't age well past 5 years, but having a cellar means you won't be damaging them with too much heat or light before you drink them. The physical size of your cellar will also depend on whether you want to use the room just for storage or for entertaining as well. Part of the romantic idea of owning a wine cellar is tasting wine with friends by the glow of candlelight amid dusty bottles. But that increases your size, insulation costs, and needs. Do create the best aging conditions. The ideal storage temperature of 10 to 15 degrees Celsius or 55 degrees Fahrenheit allows wine to age slowly to its full complexity. Excess heat cooks off its finer characteristics, while too much chill retards its maturation. Humidity should be stable at about 70% so the corks don't dry out. Dry corks shrink ever so slightly, allowing air to seep into the bottles and oxidize your wine. That's why bottles are best stored on their sides. The wine keeps the cork wet and the oxygen out. Darkness is preferable too, because wine is sensitive to light, although most wine is bottled in colored glass to protect it against damage. You may already have these conditions naturally in your basement or root cellar, or even a bomb shelter, and therefore you might not need to make any adjustments. This is called a passive cellar. Leave a simple temperature and humidity gauge in the area and monitor it to see if this is so. Do research all the storage options. Once upon a time, a wine cellar was a large, vaulted underground cave. But today there are so many choices, ranging from cool basement corners fitted with racks to specially built closets with cooling units and wine fridges. Finding the right choice for you depends on your budget and needs. Some basements or rooms have naturally ideal conditions to cellar wine. Others can be adapted with insulation and cooling units. Wine fridges come in a range of sizes from small to large to walk-in brink-style vaults. Their finishes range from utilitarian metal to hand-carved wood with grape motifs, glass doors, interior lighting, and separate temperature-controlled compartments for either aging or serving. Prices vary from $5,000 to $50,000 or more. Do consider hiring a consultant. For larger and more complex projects, especially ones that involve retrofitting a basement or building a cellar from scratch, bringing in an expert can save you time and money. A consultant can analyze your existing conditions to identify humidity levels, hot and cold spots, and tell you how much insulation you'll need and where, and what heating, cooling, or humidifying equipment would be best. Even a skilled or reputable contractor or home builder can be experienced at building wine cellars. To find a consultant, ask a knowledgeable staff person at your local liquor store for recommendations. Look in the yellow pages under wine storage, or visit my site, nataliemclean.com, where I've noted several cellar consultants in my links section under wine and food accessories. Cellar don'ts. Don't wait until you have a large collection. You don't need to amass hundreds or thousands of bottles before you consider building a cellar. In fact, it's best to take the opposite approach. Build a cellar and then fill it. You don't want good wines to cook in the heat of some closet or to freeze in an overchilled, icy basement. If you do keep your wine in the basement, it may have to rub shoulders with undesirable influences such as harsh solvents or cans of paint. These chemicals break down over time and their smells can seep into your wine through a cork. Don't use the wrong tools. Long-term wine storage has specific requirements, and trying to substitute other equipment can be costly. For instance, you want a cool area, but using a standard air conditioner isn't wise because it removes the humidity necessary to keep your corks moist. That's also why you shouldn't keep your wine in the fridge for longer than a week. Don't carpet your cellar floor instead of using tile. Carpeting holds mold-inducing moisture. That's why redwood, though expensive, is the best wood for racking wine, since it's naturally odor-free, doesn't require staining to look good, and resists rot and mildew, and it's strong relative to its weight. Don't blow your budget. The cost of a cellar can range from a few hundred dollars for some racks to more than $50,000 for a built-in customized storage area. A good compromise is a space some 10 feet square and a budget of $5,000. You can save some money by choosing less expensive finishes, tiles, and lighting. You can then spend your savings on more delicious wine. Don't overlook protecting your collection. As your cellar grows, you might want to install an alarm system that can page you in the event of a break-in or power failure. As well, remember to insure your collection for its replacement costs rather than its purchase prices. A number of insurance companies now offer special clauses for wine collections, just as they do for art and jewelry. And finally, don't forget to have fun. Although a cellar protects your investment in wine, don't lose sight of the fact that it's mainly there for your enjoyment. A cellar celebrates all that wine encompasses: taste, history, science, culture, friendship, and intimacy. That's it for this week. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let others know about them. And if you're thirsting for more wine knowledge, you can pick up my new book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over, which the Globe and Mail chose as one of the best books of 2006, and it also received good reviews from the New York Times, the Financial Times of London, and others. There's more info about the book and my free e-newsletter at nataliemclean.com. Tune in again in 2 weeks' time for another exciting episode. And in the meantime, drink up. Cheers, Natalie. This podcast and its content are a copyright of Natalie McLean, 2007.